Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Medic Diaries. Hi guys, happy new year. Yes, I have been away for a while, but I'm back and I'm so glad you're able to join me. My name is Dr. Yvonne Maldor and this is Medic Diaries. In case you haven't heard of Medic Diaries, this is basically a podcast where we discuss all the daily medical issues that affect us and how we can get the facts about it and be able to improve our lives. I'm so happy you were able to join me today, and let's dive right into the new episode, shall we? Today I have someone with me this time. It's not just me alone, and I would just like you guys to all have a listen to him and basically help us with this new topic that we're talking about. I'm so glad that I have a guest now. I've been listening to you guys and your suggestions, and here it is. So, Dr. Labram, how are you doing today?
Yes, I'm very well. And given the current situation, as well as can be.
True, very true. So we are still in COVID times, as we are all aware, and I just want us to continue to talk about the aspects of COVID. But before that, Doc, could you please introduce yourself?
Yes, as you mentioned, I'm Emmanuel Kingsley Labra. My friends and colleagues call me Manny.
To Manny.
Yes. And surgeon by profession, but currently devoting most of my time teaching, and most of it is in the basic sciences. I'm currently the basic sciences coordinator at the Family Health University College, the medical school.
Okay, thank you so much, Doc. Welcome. What I want us to talk about today is actually the COVID-19 vaccine. And it's not available everywhere, as we know, but it's obviously been rolled out in other countries such as the UK and US. It has met a lot of skepticism, which is understandably valid. But the reason why I wanted to talk about it was a couple of days ago, I saw a social media poll which basically asked if you had access to the vaccine right now, would you actually take it? And a whopping 64% of people said no. Wow. Which is kind of very crazy to me, because I thought in this COVID times that we're in, people would be more receptive and rushing for this vaccine. I don't know. Doc, what is your opinion about all this?
Yes, my opinion is that you know, most of reason why there is skepticism is misinformation rather than fact.
And that's true.
I suppose that is why you want us to at least, you know, discuss it and try and look at what exactly is happening. This is not the first time for most vaccines. You know, there have always been skepticisms and from misinformation or misinterpretation, you know, of what the science is all about. And I hope chat today will try and allay some of the fears.
Okay, great. Thank you. Doc, so because of the poll that I saw, I went to do a bit more research, and I found that the African CDC also did a research checking the anticipation, so to speak, of the vaccine in African countries, 15 African countries to be specific. And it actually showed that there was a 79% positive response in regards to the vaccine. And this obviously disputes the poll, which I'm very happy about. So with all that said and done, Doc, maybe you could just enlighten us a bit on the basics. What exactly is a vaccine?
Yes, generally a vaccine, you know, to put it in a very broad term, is a killed or a weakened you know, virus or bacteria which causes infection, or sometimes, you know, just a little part of it. Mm-hmm. And what it does is that it trains our body to recognize and fight infection. Yeah, it stops us from getting the disease, or sometimes even if we get it, you know, makes it less severe.
So is it like you basically developing some sort of security for your body?
Yes. What vaccination is all about is that vaccine mimics whatever infective organism or germ goes into the body. And then the body has a natural defense system and tries to produce antibodies, which are proteins, to try and fight it. And this is remembered when, you know, the actual bacterial virus, you know, affects you. Then the body is ready to try and fight it, and therefore you don't get the full-blown disease, or you are unable to get the disease at all.
Okay, so from my understanding, then this means we are basically developing our immunity from getting a vaccine. So in the case of the COVID-19 vaccine, then the whole point is along the same lines, for our body to develop some sort of immunity.
Immunity.
Doc, so there have been some terms which have been floating around, such as herd immunity, natural immunity, vaccine acquired immunity. And for my listeners, could you just help us be a bit more conversant with these words, you know, for us not to be confused? I mean, your regular person would be like, COVID is around, yes, so I need my vitamin C, my zinc, all these immunity boosters. But when you mention herd immunity, there may be a bit of confusion, you see. If you could just help us a bit here, that would be great.
Yes, you know, some infections, I mean, such as, you know, COVID, for instance, they spread very quickly, you know, within the community, and therefore make a lot of people, you know, sick. You know, however, when you get a lot of people getting infected, or sometimes even vaccinated with an very infectious agent such as COVID, you know, it's easy to spread from person to person, where so many people have been infected, and therefore the spread sort of slowly slows down, because when you get infected, you know, your body's defense, you know, kicks in to try and stop the infection. And so you'll find that, you know, depending on the type of infection, depending on you know, other factors, i.e. how the body deals with it, they develop immunity. And then when it reaches a certain stage, I mean, it varies in terms of the percentage of people that have to be infected before, you know, the spread sort of slows down and sometimes stops, which is the what is called the herd immunity.
All right, so me and my community getting an immunity from the infections we've had or from the vaccination that we had is what is it. Yeah. Basically helps the other people to not be infected, is it?
Natural. Yes. So when a lot of you have been infected in the community, mm-hmm. you know, then it becomes more difficult for, you know, the transmission to go from one person, because, you know, a lot of you have the immunity. Yes.
Okay, yeah. I think that makes sense. We are aware that the couple of vaccines around. Could you please just enlighten us on the types that are available at the moment?
Yes, I mean, currently, you know, there are three in the Western world that are being used. You know, there are others in Russia and in China which haven't come into the main use yet.
Yes.
I'll start off with the Oxford University AstraZeneca. The reason being that it does not need, you know, cold temperatures for storage, and therefore can be easily distributed.
Oh, okay.
And this is made from a weakened virus, and it's a cold virus that affects chimpanzees. And this has been modified not to grow in humans.
Okay.
Yes, and it's 70% effective. And in fact, they found that it produces a strong immune response in older people. It's given in two doses, 3 months apart. And then we have the Pfizer, which was the first to come out, actually.
That's the one from US.
Yes, the BioNTech, which is a messenger RNA, which is a small particle of the virus used in making the vaccine, and it's 95% effective. The only problem with that is that you have to store it at minus 70 degrees. So it has to be transported in special boxes, and given our temperatures, obviously that is going to
be a bit
difficult, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. And then there is the Moderna vaccine, which is another, messenger RNA vaccine, which is also 95% effective, given in two doses. As you can see, all the vaccines have to be given in two doses. The Pfizer for 3 weeks interval, and then the Moderna 4 weeks interval. But with the Moderna, it can be stored out at about minus 20 degrees centigrade. And in fact, you can keep it up to about 6 months, if it's properly stored. So that is also not too bad.
The goal is not to overwhelm you with so much information and the nitty-gritties, but more to just give you an overview of what you should be expecting when we finally have access to these, because as of now, we don't have any access of these to these in Africa.
No, not yet, yes.
So my listeners may be asking, why is it that we're getting two doses and not just one? Is there like a difference per se?
Yes. I mean, we're getting two doses because when you produce the antibodies, the question is, will it be able to protect you for a long period, or are you able to produce enough antibodies to be able to protect you against infection? A second dose is a sort of a safety guard where it allows your body to be able to, be prepared, to be able to defend you better. And that is why you get the second dose.
Oh, okay. So we're crossing our fingers that the rest of Africa will finally get access to these vaccines, because I know there are other countries who are getting them as of now.
Oh, yes. I mean, in the UK, in America, obviously they have the funds, and of course it's being produced by them. So,
Oh, they have the priority.
Yes. At the moment, in fact, they don't even... You see, the production is the main thing. I mean, obviously, it goes through phases in terms of development, and it went up to phase 3, and they found that it's effective and safe, and therefore, they would want to, take care of their own first before they think about us.
Okay, all right. You had mentioned that there are people getting the vaccine.
Yeah.
Who is eligible to
get
it?
What we know for sure is that, age is by far the biggest risk factor in terms of, who gets the infection and the severity and complications from the infection tends to affect the very old. So generally, the way they look at it is, one, where is COVID-19 spreading and spreading very quickly? Which groups are being affected? So they've divided it into phases, and generally what those who have received it so far have been, healthcare workers, because they are frontline. They are seeing all the patients with COVID-19. And of course, then they also have nursing homes where the aged, the elderly are being looked after. So they are also the group that tending to be getting it in the first phase. Those in the homes, that is residents, the residential homes and the workers. Okay. Yes. And then the next phase is to look at over 80, 85 years, and those with, and not only the age, but if you have comorbid diseases, diabetes, hypertension, respiratory, chronic respiratory disease, okay. you are also, in the vulnerable age group. So up to phase three in the US will be, over 65 and others. Whilst in the UK, in fact, what they will do is they'll come to phase three will be in the 70-year group, and then phase four will be those, in the 60s and above.
Doc, could you please clarify for us what phases is this that you are talking about?
What they mean, what these phases are all about is, i.e., who is eligible, and then in terms of, availability of the vaccines, who should we be concentrating on giving the vaccines to? So what they've done is they've put in an order for the vaccines, and they know that the production is going to be this amount, and so it will be limited to, just a group of people to receive it. So who are the priority? So in terms of the phases, what they've done is the most vulnerable, i.e. those who are seeing cases of COVID, that is healthcare workers in the hospitals, and then the very elderly in the homes, and then those who are looking after them will be the first phase, in fact, in both countries. And then in terms of the second phase, i.e., when we've dealt with all these group of people, and then we have more stock, who are the next group to tackle? That will be the second phase, and that is what we mean by phases.
So, Doc, as always, when something new is introduced to the system, there will always be some adverse effects. For example, someone would say they had a previous vaccine before and they had so many adverse effects and they will not be partaking in this COVID-19 vaccine, for example. Are there any other side effects that you are aware of when it comes to the vaccines?
Yes, I mean, obviously, anything and everything that goes into our body will have a side effect. But what I can say so far with the COVID-19 vaccine is that, the side effects are, mainly uncomfortable, mild, temporary, and nothing at all compared to how sick you would be if you get, COVID-19. And also, as to whether you will get any side effect will depend on your age, the other products used in preparing the vaccine, and whether you are getting the first or the second dose. And generally, some of the reported side effects are, at the site of the injection, you may have some pain, you may have some redness, some swelling. You may feel a bit tired, you may have a little temperature, or a bit of a headache. But this, as I said, these are all, mild, temporary, and, they tend to settle very quickly.
I'd like to just give a disclaimer here that, yes, these are the side effects that we are talking about and is known to us from research so far, but it does not mean that we know the long-term effects of it. As we all know, the COVID vaccine is something pretty new, but these are the documented side effects that we are aware of. So we'd just like to give a disclaimer. Hi, fellow listeners, welcome back. If you dozed off, please wake up. So yes, I have Dr. Labram in our podcast today, and we're basically talking about the COVID-19 vaccine, and we had mentioned what it's all about and at least the types and at least some of the benefits and what we should expect when it finally arrives in our country. So Doc, now that we have established all that information, I'm sure there's some myths that you've obviously heard of. Would you care to share some with us?
Yes, particularly the COVID-19 vaccine. There's a claim going circulating in the media or the social media about COVID-19 vaccine containing a microchip, you know, that can track people. Wow. This is a false claim. And it's a myth from comments made by Bill Gates, actually, who is a co-founder for Microsoft. You know, and that was taken completely out of context.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The other myths are that, you know, the COVID-19 vaccine will activate, is, you know, activated through 5G, you know, and that is also false. You know, there's no connection between 5G networks and COVID-19 or either infection, the virus itself, or vaccination.
I think it was a particular pastor who was starting that.
Viruses cannot travel on radio or, you know, radio waves or mobile networks. And that's, you know, spreading. If you look at the spread of COVID-19, even countries where 5G is not available, they are getting the virus. So that is completely false. And also, there is also the myth about, you know, the vaccine altering the DNA. And this is mainly because if you look at the Pfizer and the Moderna, mm-hmm. you know, they use the messenger RNA, which is a small part of the of the virus, mm-hmm. you know. Although this sounds plausible, you know, but there's no scientific evidence at all to support it, because the messenger RNA cannot alter or modify, you know, a person's DNA, because it doesn't enter the nucleus where our DNA is.
Okay.
You know, and does not interact with any of our body's DNA at all. And the last myth is that the COVID-19 vaccine could lead to infertility.
Wow.
And this is a baseless misinformation. And this comes about because, you know, of the spike protein on the coronavirus, which is the bit, you know, that the body recognizes to produce. I mean, the vaccines make protein antibodies against, mm-hmm. and this is the spike proteins are also needed in the formation of placenta. So they're trying to put the two together. And that fertile, but that is not true. That is false.
What about the myth of if I get the vaccine, I'll actually get COVID?
No, that is also not true, because as I mentioned earlier, in terms of vaccinations in general, mm-hmm. they either use a weakened or a killed or a part of the virus. So generally, there's no evidence at all to the fact that, you know, if you get that, you're going to end up getting, you know, the disease, COVID-19.
What about pregnant women or lactating women?
Yes, I mean, the jury is out on that, in terms of, you know, particularly pregnant women, in terms of, you know, whether it could affect the fetus in any way or not. So far, the evidence does not show that this, that is the case. But With most of these things, as happens in most scientific products, you know, one has to follow this up closely to see if, you know, there's any evidence that, you know, the fetus will be affected in any way. In terms of the lactating women, I don't think that one has to be, you know, scared or worried about it.
That's great. I hope my audience are picking up some of the myths that so that they don't actually just follow any sort of information, because, you know, we're in the day and age where information is crucial, so you must have the right yes. information in order to make decisions. Is there anything else you would like to add for us to know?
Well, I mean, nothing else but, you know, just that. Yeah. I mean, with most of these things, you know, before it comes out, yeah, I mean, the work that goes in to make sure that it is effective and safe. And in fact, those of us who are recommending it, you know, are in the front line and receiving it, and therefore, you know, it must be safe, otherwise we wouldn't be receiving it before, you know, rolling it out to the rest of the population.
Oh, wow. I'm sure myself and the rest of my listeners have gotten a lot of information from this episode today. Dr. Lamam, thank you so much for joining us and educating us and just opening our eyes a bit more to whatever is actually going on. As always, if you have any questions for me, you can always send them via our email, medicdiaries3@gmail.com, or you can go to our social media, which is Instagram, the_medic_diaries, or just check us on Facebook, Medic Diaries, and by all means we'll be able to respond to your questions and your comments about the episode. And yes, I'm so glad you're able to join me for this episode today. I hope to hear from you and collaborate with you again, Dr. Labram. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, and I'll be happy to chip in anytime.
All right. As always, guys, do not forget to have your social distancing, to do the bare minimum of washing your hands, wearing your face mask. I mean, these are the basic stuff which will definitely help us when it comes to our protection against COVID, because this is our new normal. And just watch out for yourselves and watch out for your family members and the people around you. All right. Okay. So there you have it. COVID vaccine is on our way, and obviously we know a bit more about it now. I'm so glad, as always, that you're able to join me for this episode. And without much further ado, let's jump into the fun fact for the day. Did you know that ants use social immunization? If one ant in its colony is infected with like a fungus, ew, then the other ants actually lick the infected insect to spread the infection throughout the colony. So this basically makes them all have immunity to the fungus. Cool, right? Ah, guys, herd immunity isn't just for humans. All right, this is our fun fact for the day. As always, I adore you guys for listening to me. I have been MIA for a minute, but I'm back. You know, life takes over sometimes. So, always great to hear from you. Let's catch up later, okay? Have a nice day. Bye.